All right, let's do this. How are you, what the fuckers? What the fuck buddies? What the fuck nicks? What's happening? How's it going? Where are we at? Look, good show today. Dave Attell is here. Now, Dave Attell, I've probably known, what year is it? Probably 35 years I've known Attell. And I've had maybe two full conversations with him. I mean, like long ones. And they're both on this podcast. And he's my friend. But these are the longest conversations I've ever had with Dave Attell. And I guess you could say that for a lot of people. And I guess that's just generally how it works. How often do you just sit down and talk to someone for an hour? I do it a lot. And I do it professionally. And I do it on stage. And I do it in here. But I have friends I sit and talk to for a few hours. Make a day of it. I used to go hiking with Gimme Gimme Dan from Gimme Gimme Records. And we, you know, that was important time that I missed out on because of my broken fucking foot. And I just hope Dan's okay. That's all I'm worried about. Like, I'm talking to other people. I imagine he is too. But, you know, sometimes you get into a groove. And even if it's once a week or once every few weeks, go on that hike, stretch it out, the conversation, see what's going on. It's important, man. It's important for people. Ground yourself with people that you trust. People you can talk to. Be real, man. So Attell is here, and him and I go way back. I mean, I first met him in the late 80s doing comedy in New York, and he was always so fucking funny. Best joke writer ever. And this still stands. Still stands. He did episode 40 of this show, and I remember I was nervous about it because I knew Attell, but you know, this is a community of loners and weirdos, and we all know each other. We have a shorthand. We're comedians, and we, you know, depending where you started it out or what the community was, I would see Attell almost every day for years. But do you hang out and talk? I don't know, a bit. Maybe I'm the outlier here. Maybe everybody just talks, and I was the idiot that wasn't hanging out and doing the big conversation, unless there was weed or some booze involved. I mean, I guess we've had it doesn't matter. The point is, when he did the show, episode 40, I was nervous. I didn't know what to expect. I'd never had a conversation about him, and I was doing these shows, long interviews with my peers about their life, and I remember I drove into Hollywood. He was here for a reason, staying at a hotel. We sat by a pool during the day, and he had a mountain of candy, different types of candy, coffee, cigarettes, outside talking. And we did this whole thing about Dave Attell's life, how he grew up and whatnot. And I didn't know anything about the guy. I'd known him for years. And that was really one of the original episodes, one of the templates of how this show was built. That me getting to know my peers. But, like, I was just dumbfounded. I couldn't believe it. I talked about it for weeks. Like, I just talked to Attell for an hour. Has anyone talked to Attell for an hour? And, obviously, I've seen him on and off. He's one of the guys that occasionally texts me to see if I'm doing a joke like his. He checks in occasionally. He's been a good friend. Showed up. Always checks in when something bad happens to me. And, I don't know. I love the guy. I feel like we're friends. But this is the... You're going to hear the second time that we sat down and really talked. He was so quick, man. And he is so quick. I just never forget that moment where I was standing in front of Stand Up New York and I'd driven up. I parked in front of the place. I had this green Honda Accord LX that I'd gotten from my father. We were young people. Got my father's Accord. Drove it out from New Mexico, but, you know, my dad had it for years. And I remember Dave walked up, he goes, "Where'd you get that car?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's my dad's." And I said, "There's 200,000 miles on it." And he said, "Wow, that's a lot of running away." Classic. Classic Attell. He's got a new special coming out. It's called Hot Cross Buns. It's on Netflix. And I can't even... you know, begin to tell you the impact this guy had on stand-up in general, but New York comedy. I mean, yeah. Yeah, we can talk about that. I'll talk about it with him, maybe. So look, I've got a lot of tour dates coming up. I'm going to try to condense it. You can go see the ones I've been mentioning every week. But in case you missed this last week, I announced new cities for my tour. Here's where I'm coming later this year. Asheville, North Carolina, Nashville, Tennessee, Louisville, Kentucky, and Lexington, Kentucky, August 8th through 11th. That's that string of dates. Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo, Monterey, California. That's August 22nd through 24th. That run. Iowa City and Des Moines, Iowa, September 5th and 6th, and Kansas City, Missouri on September 7th. Tucson, Arizona, September 20th. Oklahoma City, Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio. That's October 3rd through 6th. Boulder, Colorado on October 19th. Joliet, Illinois, Skokie, Illinois, and Grand Rapids, Michigan, October 24th through 26th. All the dates are up at WTFpod.com/tour. You can get all the links to the venues and the links for the tickets. Get the tickets at these links. Don't scalp them out. Don't get stuck in a scalper hole. Though there does seem to be something going on with some venues where they will, to not give money to scalpers, they'll put the tickets up for sale at the cost that people are scalping them. Then I get the money. I guess that's good. I don't know if it's good for you. I don't know what's happening. So also, new cap mugs from Brian R. Jones go on sale today at noon. These are unique. Well, they are of the tradition of the handmade mugs you get when you get when you're a guest on the show, these celebs and whatnot. But this new batch is glazed black with all gold decals. These are fucking awesome. I hope I can have one. Can I get one? Is he sending me one? I need one. These are available today. These new black and gold mugs are available today starting at noon Eastern at WTFmugs.co. So Attell. I've seen Dave Attell do millions of sets, it feels like. But here was the interesting thing about coming up in New York in the late 80s and early 90s, was that Attell has got such a kind of contagious style, voice, rhythm, joke writing structure that so many young cats glommed onto it. There, you could see Attell running through at least 20 comics at any given time. And there, I can still see the legacy of Attell today because there are joke guys that know that he is the best joke writer. And you can see a little bit of Attell. There's a few guys, and I've talked about this before, that people would lock into. Hedberg was another one. There was a lot of Hedbergs around for a while. There weren't that many Hickses, but there was definitely Hedbergs and Attells around for a while. And I'm sure there are guys now that have a style that people are glomming onto. But you can see Attell's influence and certainly Hedberg's influence in the generation after mine. But I don't even know how many generations. Where are we now generationally? What is happening? Where? How many? I'm fucking old, man. I mean, I'm not an old man, but like I'm really having this weird moment where I guess from age 35 right up until becoming 60, I just saw comics in my community and my peers as we're all just sort of doing the same thing. And now all of a sudden, like I see guys who I just saw as comics who are like 45 and I'm 60. And I thought like, what, did everybody stop aging? I don't know. I've probably said this before because it's sort of like, I'm just noticing it. And I don't necessarily feel old, aside from I broke my foot and my hip hurts a little bit from walking weird because of a broken foot. I don't necessarily feel that old, but I think part of the way that people feel old is realizing all of a sudden, and I don't think it happens in a lot of communities, but because comedy is such a big world and you just see people as your peers, that one day you're just sort of like, did my clock speed up? What the fuck happened? It's not a bad thing, I don't think. I said on stage, I turned 60. I didn't think I'd make it. A lot of other people didn't think I'd make it. And now that I'm here, I don't know if I'm thrilled that I did. It doesn't look like it picks up from here. This is not where things get great. That I might have missed that moment because I wasn't paying attention. Dave Attell came here to my house, and I get a little nervous because I'm like, are we going to be able to talk? But everybody's kind of getting nicer as they get older. I guess we're all settling into our sad skin sacks and letting a few things go. It was great to see him. We actually sat out in front of the house. Oh, I got to give I'm going to make that the picture for the post. I've got these rocking chairs out front, so we got a pic of me and Attell in the rocking chairs. But it was a pleasure to see him. He's got a new special out, Dave Attell Hot Cross Buns, on Netflix next week, March 26th. This is me talking to my friend Dave Attell. Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? Well, for me, honestly, it's my stereo system. For years, I've wanted this stereo system. And then at some point, I realized, like, hey, you're saving money, buy it. So I got a pretty top-of-the-line, tube-driven stereo system. It has changed my life. It's not only great for listening to music, it's great for me to sit there with my guitar while I jam or just rock out. Because when we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. Just like the all-new Lexus GX. It has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Available dynamic sky panorama glass roof. Available front row massaging seats. Available 33-inch all-terrain tires. And available multi-terrain select system for off-road driving. Any of these options will help you take your Lexus GX to the limit, just like I did with my stereo system. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Sometimes I wish I paid more attention in school, or in some cases, any attention at all. There are probably a lot of things I could have gotten more out of, like literature, and now it's probably not in the cards to go back to school and study the classics. But luckily for us, there's a new podcast called The Foxed Page that dives deep into the best books of all time. This is basically like the best possible college English class, but more relaxed and fun. No pressure of grades or needing to prepare something to say in class. It's only the books you want to read and know about, presented by best-selling author Kimberly Ford. Everything from Cormac McCarthy to Madame Bovary, from classics like Frankenstein to modern hits like Lessons in Chemistry. I love Ireland, but I missed the boat on James Joyce. The Foxed Page has a three-part series on Dubliners, and that's a pretty great starting point. Want to get the most out of what you read? The Foxed Page is for you. Get it now wherever you get your podcast.
We're not on camera, are we?
No cameras.
Awesome. You're doing it, man.
Well, San Diego, I was there the night I broke my foot before I went to the fucking doctor.
No way.
I thought it was just sprained, so I was hobbling around for two shows.
Oh, that's not a town to be hobbling around in.
No, no.
Because everybody else is hobbling around in.
In sandals.
Yeah.
but like, you did eight shows?
Eight shows, yeah.
At that little place?
It's a good
place.
American Comedy Club, great club. I got to say one thing about that town for me is that they bring in an energy, and they are like super fans, you know, not just to me, of comedy.
Yeah.
And it was great. Like, we were like, okay, that's got to be the best show of the weekend. Then the next one was like even better. You're like, so, you know, I'm spoiled, you know.
I played that club a few years ago. I did some theater situation there this time,
mm-hmm.
but it got a little crazy. It's a good club. It's got the weird dressing room that you're kind of locked on stage almost, right?
Yeah, it's more of an emporium than it is a dressing room. It's a lot of weird weird memorabilia in there and stuff. But I got to thank you, Mark, for having me. It's been a long time, but I remember you always said, Dave, if you ever come to L.A. during the rainy season, I'd love to have you in during morning traffic with a chance of flooding. So here we are.
Well, I follow through on my promises.
You really do.
I don't think I don't know if we've had, I think we've only had one long conversation.
It was ever?
On this show.
Oh. Was it in Montreal?
Maybe. Yeah, when I was crying. No, it was at that hotel. Remember, we were.
Yeah, I think I was the first guy on your podcast.
One of them.
And it's great to be the guy who closes.
Yeah,
it out.
Finally, we can put an end to it. I was hoping for a way to do it. But no, I remember we were sitting out back, and it was an odd situation for both of us. You were by a pool. It was during the day. You had a lot of candy set up.
Well, you know, that was before, you know, the comedy boom. Yeah. Wouldn't you agree?
There is a new comedy boom, don't you think?
Yeah. It's been going on for a couple of years now. I can't believe it. I talk to older comics. I go, this has got to be it. This is the last year for this.
I mean, I don't know, but it's like, it's crazy that everybody, like, for years, all we heard about was this other comedy boom. Like, when we started, right? The 80s, it was everyone talked about, like, yeah, it's over now. But Jesus Christ, it's crazy right now.
And, like, when you try and tell the new comics about, like, the
old days?
Yeah, the bad times.
Sure.
You know, it's like the Dust Bowl. Like, they don't believe you.
They don't know what you're talking about, and they just go up and do your jokes.
They're like, and the room was empty. Why didn't you tweet? I'm like, no.
There was no way to reach out to people.
Yeah, really.
You relied entirely on the club's outreach.
I was flyering cars all day.
Yeah. That was close to the truth, right?
Yep.
Shit, man.
No, so, it's just endless radio.
Oh,
endless. From 6 in the morning to like right before you went on stage. And you'd be like, can I just lay down for a minute? And they're like, no.
No.
You got to do this,
you got to go across the hall. Joey's got a thing over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You walk into a room with three people yelling at each other.
And then I'm sure everyone said this on your show, but then, you know, you get to the show and you go, who heard me on this? Nobody.
Not a fucking person.
Nothing.
I don't know. Like, so I was thinking about like how to approach. They didn't send me the link to the new special. Is it not done yet?
No. Hey, what's with the tone?
I'm sorry.
All right. Easy.
I was looking forward to it.
Okay.
And it didn't show up in the Netflix press thing.
No, I guess. It's supposed to air March 26th.
Right.
And it's called Hot Cross Buns.
Yeah.
So might be in your spam, but that's the special. And the one thing I wanted to do, and I got to give you props because I've watched a lot of your stuff, and you always are like, you know, you are definitely, I enjoy watching you
struggle.
And watching your material and watching how it develops and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I would say that this last one you did for HBO, beautiful.
Thanks,
I mean,
buddy.
I don't know who the director is or—
From Bleak to Dark.
It was really like, it was just like everything looked great.
That was Steve Finearts.
Oh, so there you go.
You know that guy?
I'm not sure.
He did that Eddie Pepitone documentary. He's been around out here.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's been following me around with cameras for 3 years making a documentary.
Really?
I think he's waiting for me to die. He won't finish it. I'm like, what's the ending of this thing?
Well, where is the foot injury in the doc? Is that towards the end, I hope? Middle.
I don't know when the fuck it ends. But anyway, so you watched my special and it inspired you?
Well, no, I like seeing guys that I know.
Yeah. Still doing it?
Well, no, I know we all have to do these specials. That's like part of it.
Yeah.
But I don't do them as much as you guys do. So, you know, I got these short jokes and it takes forever. But what I learned from my own of watching specials is that I think that the attention span is very low and I wanted mine short. So mine's 37 minutes. And even now I'm thinking it's about 7 minutes too long. Like
really?
30 minutes should be like the way to go.
Who convinced you of that? You?
No, I'm just like from people's attention span.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really hard to watch an hour of anything now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I know we live in the age of like director cuts and all that kind of stuff, but still, it's 30 minutes to me is plenty. That's all I'm going to say. So 37, you know, bear with me, people.
The director's cut of my special was 3 hours.
Yes.
It was a lot of the workshopping.
It was called The Other Oppenheimer.
but do you, like, I mean, how'd you do it? Did Netflix just do it?
No, I didn't. I did it on my own. My director, Scott Gallick, is great. And he did road work with me. That was the one I did before And he's really a patient soul. He's a great guy.
Was that
guy.
The one you shot at, like, wasn't Rascals, it was a Stress Factory?
I shot it in three or four different locations.
Stress Factory with the phone on the stage?
Yeah, that one. Mm-hmm. And this one, like, we have some, you know, like, some other things in it as well.
Really?
As a stand-up.
Really?
But,
some movie stuff?
No, I don't want to. I don't want to let it out. I don't want to let it out. When you get your memo or whatever
it's just
talking
supposed
about
to show up.
It will, buddy.
I'm not worried about it. I have complete...
Hobble over to the mailbox. I'm sure you got a press release in there.
It doesn't work that way. You sound like Steve Kravitz, the old comic. He was at the Comedy Store. The last time I saw him, it was like a year ago. He's like, where do I send my tape?
You must really love it. I mean, what? Let's face it.
What?
You know, I everybody knows your origin story, but let's face it. When you left this town years and years and decades ago with your tail between your legs, and now here you are.
And hallucinating.
Here you are living psychotic. Are we allowed to say where you live?
Glendale. Yeah, there famous Glendale.
The top, almost near the peak of the top of Mount Funny. You can see all... you can see show business from here.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, so...
No, I was thinking about that. Like, I guess, like, I've known you 35 years.
Yep.
Is that fucking nuts? Yeah, you were there when I showed up in New York with my tail between my legs.
I remember.
Oh, my God.
You lived on the Lower East Side or Alphabet City.
That's right.
We went to your apartment for you to make coffee.
Right.
And you were telling us about the line in front of your house for methadone.
No, it was for heroin.
It was?
Yeah.
No, they weren't giving out heroin then.
No, they weren't giving it away.
Not
you had
like
to
now.
Buy it. No. Who was it? Who was they? Who was in my apartment?
Was it you?
Me, you, and Louie or somebody? Mm. I'll be honest with you.
Maybe. I knew this would come up. I didn't think so soon.
Go ahead. No. I just like, I talk about the old days. I just don't have any new days to talk about.
What are you talking about? You have two rocking chairs out front. You must remember. Those are for remembering.
Yeah. I remember them.
Okay.
But it was funny one time. I don't know if I ever said this on the podcast, but like there was a night, like I was there down the Lower East Side for like a year and a half trying to stay sober. Right.
Yeah.
And then at some point, I decided, like, all those guys that looked horrifying buying heroin every day, I was like, Jesus, how do you live like this? There was finally a night where I'm like, I'm going to try it.
Really?
So I go over there. Mm-hmm. I buy, like, a bag of heroin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I snort it like coke. And I throw up. And I got to do sets that night. And for some reason,
yeah,
I had to give you and Louie a ride uptown. Like, we was in that VW Golf.
Oh,
and
wow.
And I just remember, like, I'm fighting, falling, like, nodding out.
Wow.
With you guys in the car, I'm like, I can't. These guys are too important to comedy. I can't kill us all. And then, like, I don't know if I drove us downtown, but I just remember sitting in the back of the Comedy Cellar, just, like, fading away and telling people I had the flu.
You know what?
Glad it didn't stick. I'm glad it didn't stick. It could have been bad.
There you go.
I didn't like it.
Remember this. There's no days off in heroin, all right?
No, it's a full-time job.
It really is. But what I want to tell you, you know, in that story, so many things have changed now.
I don't have a golf.
Okay, heroin is now fentanyl.
Yeah.
And
thank God we got out early.
And the car would now be a Tesla.
That's right. Cocaine is now fentanyl. Heroin is now fentanyl. Aren't you glad you're out of the drug racket?
I'm glad.
Jesus Christ.
I love being clear and present, but it is so boring. It's me. I'm boring.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's not the world. Yeah. I am boring. It's like, you know, I do two or three things a day, and I feel like, hey, I've done something. It's like other
people. I'm exhausted.
They're zip lining and doing all that stuff.
I don't know how to do any of that stuff. I don't know how to have a good time.
Well, you're dressed for a good time.
Well, I'm dressed in sweats, and I have to build my outfit around it because I can only wear sweats with the fucking boot.
You're dressed for picking up a guitar. And
I can do that.
Let's light a fire and just stand outside kind of guy.
I'm not really a camp counselor kind of guy. but wait, so how long have you been off the booze?
Oh, are you looking at your computer and asking me these questions?
No, I'm looking at the levels.
Oh,
I get very nervous about the levels.
I thought you were online gambling.
No.
Addiction.
Hold on. The guy's about to come. This is the best part. Can you just take a second?
Let me play through. All right. No, it's a lot of...
How long has it been, though? You just went
decades
cold.
Decades now. I mean, sober? Oh, jeez. Mm. Oh, my God. Over, like, 17.
Oh, is that crazy?
Like that. Yeah, but, you know, I don't miss any of that.
Yeah.
And I also, like, when I look at these, you know, like, San Diego's a good place. Like, it is out of control down there.
I don't know.
I mean, like, you're, like, walking around. You're like, wow, what? Yeah. Did we win a war? What's going on? I mean, look at this excitement.
That's why people go there.
That's their night.
To be excited about walking down the street.
No, and it's just like, you know, the cops are zipping by and there's people like screaming at each other.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, the one good thing is like, you know, I it's so close to the border. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. So you just popped over?
No, we didn't go over. That's what I was like, you know, back in the day it would be like, why am I not over on the other side of the border right now?
How come I'm not in a Mexican pharmacy getting Tylenol with codeine?
Enhancements right now. I want a new veneer.
Yeah, I need dental work. But so you feel better generally, obviously?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
what do you do? It's just, what do I do? I don't know. I like, first of all, I think you and I are kind of in the same boat with our family.
Like being old?
My mom has dementia
and God
stage
damn.
Three. And
are there stages to it?
Yeah, yeah. I thought your dad's also.
He is, but I haven't been told about stages.
Get involved.
I go, it's Mark. It's Mark. Do you remember?
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. People are like, why are you on the road all the time? It's like, I have to pay for round-the-clock care, and that's out of pocket. So pretty pricey. And, you know, I got her in a house, and I was going to put her in a facility. That's what my family wanted. I said no, and that was before the pandemic. And I think that, God bless, I think I made the right decision.
Yeah.
I think that was the right way to go.
And okay, she would have got COVID in there.
Yeah. No, it was like...
Did you get it?
No. And she actually got it. And, you know, when you have dementia, like, there's so many things going on with your body, you know, hydration and all these other things.
Yeah.
So, like, we were like, no, that's just, it's like, she really had it. So, you know, we got her vaccinated. We did all those different things. But, like, it really was tough during the pandemic where, like, I couldn't go in.
Right.
So, I was just, like, wearing the mask, looking through the house, leaving supplies. I was like, you know,
if
she had a gun, she would have shot me. I mean, it was that kind of a thing, you know. But
does she know you still?
No, she doesn't. But did she ever?
That's where they talk about my dad. It's like, you know, once you realize they're whatever they were in the past,
it's not that person.
Well, you can't hold on to that, but you can have kind of a good time with who they are now.
Oh, I do. I mean, I've like taken an improv classes with my mom. I just agree and agree and agree and agree.
Does she make sense?
You know, she's a sweet person. She's always been for others and never for herself.
Right.
And I know it secretly hurts not only us, but her that there's people taking care of her around the clock. And I know that she was never that type of person.
Yeah,
so that's really the thing. And that's also my message to the other people who are going through this here.
Yeah.
And your listeners are also really good people about it. Is that like adult children taking care of their parents is like something that nobody really talks about a lot. It really, you're good people.
Yeah.
Like, remember that. Like the AIDS, they tell me all the time, like,
you
are really good children, because we've had other people
who don't
do anything, you know?
Well, I tried to write a joke about...
Like these other people don't even know what stage dementia their parent has.
Well,
No,
but I think like his wife is still taking care of him,
right? Oh, that's good. That's
and, funny. You know, she's hanging in there. But like, I think there's like... They don't even call it... She doesn't even call it dementia. I don't know what the denial level is.
What does she call it?
Well, she keeps thinking like, you know, he's just having bad days. I mean, she knows that he's forgetting everything.
So she's more of a press secretary than a wife.
Yeah, kind of. No, but she's doing all the shit and he's like losing it. And, you know, he's like blacking out and he's doing like, you know, like a drunk
just
person.
Take the keys away from him.
Well, he doesn't have the keys. He doesn't do much.
Okay.
But like he still knows me and he's got old memories, but day of shit yesterday, that's all gone. And he seems to be getting more vacant. But like, I don't even know what the clear diagnosis is, because she's dealing with it all. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the stages.
Right.
I just know that it's getting progressively worse. And I know eventually I try to get somebody in there. I say, let me help you out. But she's like, well, he doesn't want it. And I'm like, at some point.
No, you can't. You got to do the right thing. My sister is an angel. She does all the appointments. I mean, I pay the bills. I go out there. I do things. I get supplies. But my sister is there basically talking to the aide, setting up the appointments, doing all the medicine, all that kind of stuff. And it is a full-time job. So your dad's wife,
she's
doing it. So you're very lucky.
But, you know, he still makes her nervous, and he's a stubborn fuck. So he doesn't want to take medicine. He doesn't want to do this.
And I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all. It's just that eventually you got to kind of go like, you know, we know what's best for this person, and they're going to have to do it. And I think it's harder for men than it is for women with that thing, because especially, you know, that generation of guy, you know, like that kind of thing. Not necessarily they weren't, you know, taking care of themselves all the time.
Right. So,
you know, it's very sad, you know. For the people listening on your show, it's like, I totally get what you go through, and not a lot of people are like, we're pretty lucky, you know, we make good livings. You know, there's other people who have to basically move cross country back home.
Right.
And it's not like in a sitcom where it's hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, I got to move back home, to Arkansas.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing like that. So, you know.
Yeah. So my mother is not demented, but she's old.
Yes.
And, you know, we just had, you know, her boyfriend kind of declined very quickly with dementia. So he's gone to New York with his family and he's in a place now.
For acting?
So, yeah. Oh. It's amazing.
He's like, I want to live out my last dream.
The roles for guys who can't remember their lines in their 80s. It's really, really popping right now.
I know. I watch the news.
But she, you know, she can't live at her house anymore because there's stairs. So my brother's down there. He's living in Florida just by coincidence, thank God. And we just put her in a place that's nice. It's an apartment. It's not really an assisted living.
Yeah.
But she's like a little aggravated about it. And I ask her, what's the matter? She goes, it's just full of old people. I'm like, oh,
yes.
They don't see themselves.
Why
would you?
That's also the assisted living thing where they're like, there'll be other people and they have these bingo parties and all these different things. And it's like, yeah, it depends where you are on, also, on the scale right there. Because a lot of people are just basically in a chair upstairs. That's what they're doing. The cloud floor, they call it.
And my mother, I don't know if she ever really liked people that much.
Oh, well, there you go. That's even better.
But that's a problem. But I tell you, man, I was so fucking excited because I call up... I call up the person that manages her money, like the person. It's a friend of hers from forever.
Yeah.
But you know she's managed my mother's investments. So I was like, so what's going on? Because you know, this is the time.
Exactly.
How much is she all right? And the woman's like, yeah, she's great. She'll be fine. I'm like, wow. Thank God. Only got to pay for one.
Oh, that's great. That's really good.
Help me with this joke though, because I can't get it to work.
Well, hold on a second. Now, they live where again?
My mother's in Florida.
Okay.
And she's okay. She's got her brain. My dad's in New Mexico.
Okay.
And, you know, they're like, I'm going to go out there next week to deal with. I've been going out every few weeks to hang out and see what's going on and check in.
Well, that was the time to do things with them while you still can. Like,
well, we go out
like
and eat.
Hot air ballooning.
Yeah. Yeah. We did that.
The Pueblos.
Sure. Hang gliding. I'm trying to think of the New Mexican things. That's the next thing. The hang gliding from the top of the mountain.
Okay. Go ahead.
No. But, no, I take him out to lunch and stuff, and
all
we
right,
sit there.
Relax.
But you find out, isn't it weird though? Did your mom start to? You know, it seems like the statute of limitations on shit they should tell you goes away.
Oh, yeah. That's past that. Yeah, none
yeah,
of that
yeah, yeah. And I hear, you know, you just hear things.
Yeah. Like, that's, I don't know, slowly bubbling up.
Right. Yeah. And then like, did I ever know this guy? I don't know if I ever knew this guy.
There's a whole other life you never knew about.
Totally. I don't know my mother at all.
Plus, there's the you know, the weird things that are going on. Like, she's like, do you hear that? And I'm like, what? She goes, they're walking on up there. And it's like, where? And she's like, they're up there walking. I go, where are they going? It's like, the movie theater. Like, she's looking at the ceiling. Yeah. I'm like, heaven? Are you talking about, is there a movie in heaven?
Yeah, and it's a long line.
Yeah. Everybody you know is there. Creepy.
Okay, so here's the joke. Tell me why it doesn't work. It's basically like, you know, I'm older now and you have a family. And it's weird that when you get older, no one ever really tells you just how much it's going to cost to put two parents through dying. And it, like,
that's not bad.
It's not
that's
bad.
A good start. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's a good start. Yeah. And then I sometimes I add like, and you get nothing out of it except for the satisfaction. but I can't make it work because people are just too sad about it. Like I dropped the punchline and people are like, oh.
How much is it going to cost to put two people through dying?
Two parents.
Yeah.
Put your parents through dying. Well, yeah, what are you going to do?
You can do like,
keep
you know,
hitting it.
There's no two for ones out there. That's for sure.
Yeah.
They've been divorced for years, right?
Oh, yeah.
So they're not going to be buried together because that's what really.
No, I don't. I think. Plot. I think. Yeah. Did you buy one?
No, I don't want it where my dad is buried. I don't like that. That, and I've been there a bunch.
Bad neighborhood?
No. Well, here's what happened there like in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
First of all, it is really creepy there, and it is just
at the
like
cemetery.
No, but it's like one of those where the highway and
like
then
they're all like
there's
that.
A recycling plant, and it's like smoke billowing out, very Auschwitz like, very like ooh, it's very industrial. Mm. It's not like the rolling hills.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the other thing is they had a. This is a joke I was working on, never worked, but they actually, a plane crashed into the cemetery, and everybody was okay who was alive.
Yeah,
anybody who was still alive was still alive at the end. But I go, this guy really, it's a Jewish cemetery, so I assume he must have hit a lawyer.
Yeah.
So I'm sure a card popped out of the ground.
Didn't work?
No, it didn't work. No. Different time, didn't work.
No, but my grandparents are buried in like Newark.
Really?
And it's this little Jewish cemetery that's been there forever. But since when it was built, there's the Budweiser factory.
Yeah.
It's just sitting there. And like, you don't know if anyone's taking care of anything. And you know what's the creepiest thing about cemeteries?
Yeah.
Is like at all the graves, like the ground goes down.
A little bit. The stone goes down.
The stone goes down, but the ground goes down because if it's a Jewish cemetery, it's all pine boxes. So they got to give way at some point.
Yeah. Right? I never thought of that. But I was like, I know that the headstone, like, you know, they wanted to be, you know, like the temple that they belong to, it's like nothing ostentatious. So it's like this slab.
Yeah.
And I'm always out there scrubbing it, you know, because it's getting all like, you know, weird looking mossy and everything like
Your
that.
Your dad's?
Yeah, my dad's thing. And what was the other thing about it is also like, you know, the bathroom at the cemetery, like it's not open all the time, you know?
There's no one there.
Yeah, no. It's kind of an easy gig and they really give themselves a lot of like, you know, holidays off.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think my mom, I don't know if they, I guess my dad's got a plot in New Mexico somewhere. I think my mom might want to be cremated. I don't know.
You know where I was thinking about it? Because I just did my will. I was like.
You did it?
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm like, you know, like pretty close. You're still in it for now.
What?
No, I'm kidding. Relax. So, no, the I was thinking, you know where Houdini...
Could you leave me the jokes? Just leave me the jokes.
Yeah, just I'll leave you a couple of tags.
Thanks.
The Houdini, you know where Houdini, Harry Houdini's buried? Like,
nobody
Queens?
Knows. He keeps
no,
getting
no,
out.
No, no, he's buried in Queens somewhere. It's yeah. a weird cemetery, and there's like, you know those parrots that escaped in Brooklyn? I think they live
yeah,
around
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's supposedly like a really kind of cool thing.
Yeah.
But it's Queens, you know,
right.
so no parking.
Right.
It's terrible. No one will ever
that?
Visit.
What's that fucking cemetery that you drive through when you go to the airport? You
know, oh, huge. Yeah, that one's big.
It's
yeah.
huge.
I would do that one, too.
Yeah?
Because it's close to the city. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, people are like, there's no excuse.
You can still do spots.
No excuse. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't know. But what about for yourself? Do you think, like, the will's heavy, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
I did that. You know,
no,
did.
But, you know, if unless you have, like, children and stuff like that, it's pretty.
What do you do? I don't have kids. You don't have kids.
Yeah,
we
you
did
just
the right
give
thing.
It, give it to your, like, family. And
right,
stuff, you know?
Right, yeah, or friends.
Like, I assume you have some cat sanctuary you're funding or something.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I have a girlfriend who works in the animal welfare business.
Yeah, what's that like, by the way?
What, the girlfriend?
No, yeah, that and also, like, there's a lot of these animal things out there because in my will, I gave to one of them. But, like,
yeah.
you know, what's going on with that stuff?
Well, I give to them every year. I'd rather do
yes.
that than I actually.
Yeah, I like that, too. Like,
I get there's a if you ever go to North Carolina and you're playing, like, Raleigh.
Yes, this was there.
There's a place out there called the North Carolina Tiger Rescue.
Oh,
and
tigers.
Well, it's big cats because idiots buy tigers. And
yes.
there's no law against it.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they get too big and they're like, what the fuck do we do with the tiger?
Right.
So they end up at this place.
They can't release them like pythons.
No, or yeah, or just stray cats.
Yeah.
There's a feral tiger in the neighborhood.
So but, that's one of your...
That's one of them. ASPCA, best friends.
So there you go. That solves the problem that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
You don't need to be buried. Just throw yourself into the cat pit and let yeah. them tear you apart.
Okay. It'll probably happen at my house.
You won't be found for days.
Days. Just pieces of me.
I do like that. I do like that. A weird smell.
Yeah, yeah.
From a neighbor.
Oh, that happened to me in New York once. It was so
you have to have a neighbor
up.
With a good nose to really...
But that happened... You remember my the Astoria apartment? I don't know if you're ever out there. But for weeks, dude, there was a smell in the building. It was so fucked up,
uh-huh.
you know, because I thought like, well, you know, there's a lot of different types of people live here. They cook weird things. I didn't know what it was. So,
wow.
But it turns out, like, you know, the woman next door who lived by herself had been laying dead in her hallway for weeks. And then
in the hallway?
In her apartment hallway.
Yeah. yeah.
And so when the cops finally came, they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You didn't smell that? I'm like, I didn't know what it was.
Man, that in New York, that I knew somebody who did that job where they had to do the death certificate.
Did you know him from your old show?
No. I know the crime scene cleanup.
Oh,
I
yeah,
did
yeah.
the thing with those people. But the death certificate person, where they're basically the second person in,
yeah.
and they get to see the life that yeah. these people live. And a lot of them are like, the parents had died, and now it was this passed to the son, you know,
right.
these apartments,
yeah,
like
yeah.
passed from one.
Yeah.
And then the son kicked out, you know, just like never married, nothing.
Right.
Like had a
right.
job.
No
just
family.
Just a regular guy.
Right.
Had a job, you know, maybe he was on Spectrum or something like that.
Sure.
And then he went down. And it's just like they could walk around the apartment. And it's like you could just like, it's like a time capsule back to like the 80s.
Yeah, or yeah, 70s, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like yeah.
Yeah, those New York apartments for those people that have lived there forever, I mean, it's kind of creepy.
They're there right before the real estate person showing the apartment.
2 days.
yeah.
We can set
if
this
that.
Up.
If
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Get it out. With,
yeah.
with my will, like, I mean, I don't talk about it too much. I mean, what, you know, you got to figure out where it's going to go. Charity's one place.
Right.
But I got a couple of friends who are going to be lottery winners if they make it.
Good for you,
yeah.
buddy. There you go. Yeah. They're going to keep
surprise.
It straight and narrow. Good.
People with kids.
Yes.
Right? Does your sister have kids?
My sister doesn't. My brother has them, and they are like alpha kids, too, like Ivy Leagues and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, really?
And, yeah.
How old is your older brother?
No, my younger brother has two kids that
yeah.
are like amazing. And
and so you have a relationship with them?
Yeah. You know, I you
Uncle
know,
Dave, do you take them to comedy club?
I like to call myself a stay-at-home uncle.
How old are they?
They're now coming up in their 20s.
In so. The Ivy Leagues, huh?
Yeah. Well, that's pretty expensive. You
yeah.
know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
And, you know, they're... it's different generation, of
yeah.
course, and like I think both of us can agree that college really had no effect on us. I mean,
not
I don't
much.
Think it really had. If anything, you know, I was like, you know, why did I do that? You know,
I don't know. I feel like I did whatever the fuck I wanted to, so I tried a lot of shit.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I tried comedy the first time in college. You know, I did plays. Wrote what? Some poetry.
Wow.
Studied film.
Is this Mark we're talking
yeah,
to?
Yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
know you had all...
Where's... Sure, that's a deep resource there.
Where did you go to school?
Where... Boston University.
Ah, oh, there you go.
BU. Mm. With Jeff Ross, who I didn't know.
Jeff is a good buddy of mine.
Of course.
You I guys mean, do the that's show the cool of it, I guess, you could say at this point in our world of comedy, is that, you know, it's a lot more fun, the hang, you know, in terms of like...
It's so funny.
Just like, I mean, I, you know, like when the young comics come up to me, they ask for advice. I'm sure they do that to you at some point.
Okay, very specific.
Any advice I have is almost like how to build a sword, like a blacksmith. And they're like, what years you're talking? Years? And they don't get it. And I'm like... Yeah, you got to listen to your tapes, and no, you don't tape? Okay, I got it.
No, what they
put
do
it right
is,
up on TikTok, I understand.
All they do is they just record the set, they're a year in, and they throw it on TikTok. They
I know, even, amazing, you know? And
is it amazing?
No, I mean, it's amazing to, like, have that kind of confidence, I guess. It took me, like, years and years to release anything.
Yeah, you know? But I think that was, like I was going to say at the beginning, I think that you, more than anybody else at the time in the 80s, established this weird, intense work ethic that all of us followed.
Really?
Like, well, yeah, because, well, maybe it was Havy. I don't remember what it was, but there was this idea in New York that...
Wait, you gave me a great compliment, then you took it away.
No. It was like this idea that you got to do like 90 sets a week.
Yeah.
And there's no other place you can do that but in New York, but that was the system. And to this day, I'm at the fucking Comedy Store almost every night.
I was going to tell you, I drove in from San Diego with Louis Katz, who is a headliner.
Love him.
He was working on the show with me. Great comic.
Love
really
him.
Fun guy. And he's got to be with his wife and all that stuff. And I'm like, I'm fighting the urge to go to the Comedy Store tonight. Like, I really am fighting it. Like,
why don't you go?
What no, because I'm like, after eight shows, I was like worn out. I had nothing new to talk about.
That's
so luckily, like, rain.
Why ruin it?
I was like, right. Why bring it right down to reality?
Why go do the 15 minutes where you don't really want to do it?
In front of, like, the storm people. So, anyway, I was like...
Are you staying at Louis?
What? No, I'm staying in a hotel.
Oh, good
you know?
For you.
But the other thing is just, I felt that, like, that was the... great thing about New York that you can do multiple sets in a night, and that, you know, like I still think to this day that, like, those late night sets, and I still go on late at the Comedy Cellar. I'm the last guy when
which
I'm in
Comedy
town.
Cellar aren't there nine?
The original.
Oh,
the original.
Okay.
The classic.
Right.
And, like, you know, the whole point was, like, you do these late night sets and, like, you're in front of other crowds. It's not just your people.
Yeah.
You know, you come up with new material, but the crowds there now are so, like, international. There's a lot of tourists, and there's a lot of domestic and international tourism there.
Sure.
And then, you know, once again, like, these are the new comics. You know, there's a lot of new ones there.
But they're
and
packed,
like,
all the time.
So I want to see if I can even follow them. That's pretty much what it is. Like, can I still follow them? An old, you know, man. You know, like the old
tell
man.
Me about it.
So,
yeah.
But the point of it is, it's just like, am I getting as much new stuff out of it? Probably not. Like, there's more moans and groans coming out of that crowd than my crowd. My crowd's up for anything.
Sure.
My crowd is great.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, this crowd is where, like, you know, I'll come up with something new or I'll test it. No, it really isn't that. It's more about, like, you're looking at a guy... And he's got his travel bag with him. He's catching the first flight out of LaGuardia. So, you know, this is like his thing to do before he goes back to, you know, where, Oslo, whatever.
Yeah.
So,
and there's a language barrier, and you don't know if you...
Totally.
I feel like the Cellar was always kind of like that.
Yeah, but did you ever feel like you knew Manny, the original owner? Manny.
Yeah, of course.
And I remember you and him really going at it, Knesset style. Like, like, open your collars and let's get this done here.
Yeah, he threw me out for a while. I can't remember what I said, you know, but I remember Manny. Like, here's what I remember about Manny, and I remember this about you too, is like, when I first got at work at the Cellar, if you were sitting in the room, I'd make you leave because I'm like, I don't need the pressure. You know, I got to, you know, figure out how to do this in front of these regular people. But all I remember about Manny when I was on is that at some point during my set, I'd see him come down the stairs, enter the room, and in a panicked way, just look around to see if anyone was laughing. And if it was a bad moment, I'm like, oh, fuck, now I got to listen to this. I got to listen to Esty tell me I'm angry.
That was the thing. He always said to me, like, all the classics, like, do you have to work so blue?
Oh, you know, like that kind of thing.
And then all that kind of stuff. But,
why can't you be more like Johnny Joseph?
Yeah, he really was like, he was really classic in the sense of, like, you know, you're an entertainer, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, but the good thing, the one thing I love about him, he never said, don't say, you know, like, he never, no censorship of speech up there. Like, I don't want it this way. You do what you do. And
sure. That was that's Noam's big thing right now, his son, right?
Yep.
No censorship. We've got a...
No, Noam also fights the good fight.
Yeah. We've got Noam's a new act. He goes by Joey Hitler. But, you know, but we got to indulge all voices here.
But, you know, the road, let's face it, it's just dead end. And,
but what do you do out there?
What do I do? I'm trying to basically, you know, when you're on the road, it's all about, like, where's the next place you can do laundry?
Yeah. And then, but how's your draw out there? Good still?
Yeah, no, I'm doing good.
That's
and
good.
I really got to give it up to my crowd. Like, you know, Louis said it, and all the people that open for Ian Fidan, all these guys that open for me, they're like, man, your crowd is the best. Like, they really love jokes. And, like, that's really what I do. I'm a joke guy.
Right. So,
so, like, they're into it. And, like, I can't thank them enough because they've been with, some of them have been with me for years. Some of them, the new ones, like, who are getting into it, they're like, so, like, wow, I've never been to a comedy show. This is pretty amazing. So I feel like I'm doing the good thing. And I try and get, you know, like, if I can, you know, depending on, like, how many shows, it's like, get some locals to do a guest spot, you know, here and there. So, like, kind of spread, you
know,
like.
Of course. I try to get local openers if I can.
I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, what else can I say, you know? But I mean, like, merch.
Do you have merch?
Yeah, I do.
What do you got?
You
have t-shirts?
I have t-shirts. I have a poster. And I know this is not your thing.
It used to be. I just couldn't deal with all the boxes.
You couldn't deal with... This room would fill... like, you could have a couple of great boxes of merch here.
Well, I mean, when I did t-shirts...
Like a warehouse.
When I did t-shirts, you got to have all the sizes. So you got three or four boxes.
Yep.
You got to mail them ahead of time.
Yeah.
You got to sit there for an hour with some guy, you know, at the end of the line. He's like, do you have triple XL?
No, and but then, now it's the new generation where it's like... A guy will come up to you, do you have a small?
Yeah.
Oh, what? Are you going to, like, wax your car with this? No, I wear that.
CDs
I get it.
Were heavy. You know what was the best merch?
What?
If you get a guy, if you're going to a city and you get, you know, and you reach out somehow on whatever you fucking do and get, like, a local guy to design a poster and then you just run them off.
Yeah.
The posters are the easiest because they don't, and people want to leave with something. So you just, you know, you pay $1.50 for each one and then you sell it for $15, $20.
The only reason why I do it is because, you know, I used to spend hours taking pictures with everybody.
That's right.
So,
I did that too.
So I'm like, you know, I'm definitely going to meet the crowd if I can. It really depends on the club, you know, how they set it up. But, you know, I feel like that's part of it, but it's not like, you know, hey, for a while there I was living off of my merch money. I gotta tell you that, because, like, I had taxes, I had, you know, my mom.
Yeah.
So it was like one of these, like, perfect storms of, like, you know, I'm broke.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, wait a minute, I got that merch money. So I was living off of that. You know?
But when you go out, like, here's the thing, like I'm trying, I feel like I'm out of the
loop. How much are you really out there? That's what I want to know. Like,
now I'm going out. Like,
I know, but you're out there like 2 weeks a month. Well, you can't with the foot, right?
No, I go out with the foot. Well, I did a date in San Francisco, and I did the two shows in San Diego.
That's where I shot my special, Cops, San Francisco.
Oh,
awesome.
Really?
Yeah,
it went good. That's like a huge room.
It was great. And, like, we had some tech problems, we had some sound problems, but, like, honestly, like, my director guy took the best of both shows, and, like, it was good.
What were the sound problems?
Just, like, I guess, like, something wasn't plugged in or something like that a whole show. And, like, we couldn't hear it. The audience couldn't hear, you know, something like that. But nothing major. You know, nothing crazy. But
no, I'm going to go out. But I'm doing these smaller theaters. I'll do clubs in places I can't do theaters. Like I
thought you'd be up to, like, more of the amphitheater by now. No.
I'm a very acquired taste.
Really?
No. I'm not what you would call your basic entertainer. And I beat the shit out of myself all the time. It's like, I think I'm for everybody, but apparently not everybody's like me. What are you going
to
do?
I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what to tell you.
All I'm going to say is, you know, there's a lot of factors. Ticket price.
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about? There's that.
But there's some places I can sell, like, you know, 800. Some places I can sell. I think the max for me is maybe 2,000
seats. In a theater.
Yeah, in a theater in, like, a few cities where I can sell well.
I bet you I know those cities right
Sure.
now.
Sure, yeah. I did all right in San Diego, oddly.
Oh, okay.
But I did, like, two shows, 500-600 people. San Francisco,
what
I can
sell. What about D.C.? You must kill it
D.C.,
there.
I can do good.
Yeah.
Portland, I can do good.
Sure. Portland is another great town.
I did.
There's, like,
did.
Some really great comedy towns. And I bet you at the Wilbur in Boston you could
I can do
that.
I can do all right.
How many can you do?
At the Wilbur?
Yeah. Four?
I don't know, two. No.
See?
Yeah, maybe one and a half, two.
Mm.
What about you?
Do you back that up with a Foxwood casino gig?
No, I don't do the casinos.
Dude, you gotta.
Really? Is it good?
No, but that's how I always do it. It's like hit the casino on the way up, hit it on the way back.
Well, here's the thing, though. like I've been doing.
Are you
this.
A casino act?
No, that's it.
Oh, I just did one in Shreveport. You should check it out. The Au Bon Prata Pontin. It's very French. And it's a riverboat. And it's right on the Mississippi.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no. Two connecting flights at least. I don't know what it was, but that's another thing. It's like I won't do the gig if it's not a direct. So, but the whole thing is like I was there one time. It was awesome. The second time it was like in the middle of the Mardi Gras warm up. Sure. So like, wow, it was a knife fight, but I still enjoyed it. But I like these casino gigs, man. You can smoke.
Yeah.
You're sometimes the best-looking guy in the entire casino. I mean, those casino crowds, really. Talk about cemeteries.
Yeah. Well, what I've been saying on stage is like, I say my peers, they do casinos. But like, if you were my fan and you were in Vegas, you didn't go there on purpose. You know, you're there because Mary's doing her thing here. We didn't want to go. Now, if you saw...
Let's talk about Vegas because I'm going to be in Vegas next week. Well, I'm going to Vegas.
Yeah.
I'm playing Wise Guys. Do you know that part?
Sure, love it.
Okay,
which one? The little one or the new one?
The new one in Vegas.
Well, no, he just opened a second room
in Vegas.
The original one was in the Arts District. Did you do that one? Seats like 220, low ceilings.
I don't know.
And then he opened.
I've never done that.
Well, he opened one closer to the Strip that I think you're probably going to.
Okay, well,
like 400 seats.
I'm playing a club in Vegas.
Right.
So. What do I have to do to play the Sphere?
Well, that's
easy. How many credits am I away?
Let me forward you Bono's information.
Can you imagine?
David Tell with the Sphere.
How do they even book that?
just like this
an obelisk glows.
Well, no, it'd just be like this weird footage of New York City.
But the best thing to do is like now it's so like full, like now it's like the big thing. But you know, in Vegas, every new idea is old immediately.
Sure,
so
fades
like
out.
In a year when they're asking guys like us and it's like half sold out and like two for tickets, like, oh, hey, who's gambling tonight? And it's just like flashing stuff around.
David Tell at
just
the
question
Sphere.
Marks going around. Sorry, the guy who knows how to run this quit. He moved to Tahoe with a girl.
They're building a smaller version of this.
Sorry,
in Tahoe.
Sorry.
But no, I just feel like if you're my fan and you saw I was playing a casino, you'd actually be like, I don't know, it's a lot. We're just starting to have a good time. Isn't he coming near us?
I don't give yourself enough credit. How about a co-headlining? You and a chum. You go out on the road, and then at the end you have like a little like sitting in chairs talking to each other.
Yeah, well, that'd be fun. I mean, you do that thing with Jeff.
Yeah, no, we had great times doing that.
Jeff's
and
so funny. Isn't
Jeff is actually... I got to give Jeff a lot of credit. Like, not only the roasting thing, but he's working on one man show. I mean, like, he's got a lot of stuff going. So, he's always moving and he's always making some moves.
And it feels like the thing about Jeff, though, and I've said this about him before, he feels like he's like some sort of connection to the history of comedy.
He really is.
It's weird. He's like the joke I do. You remember The Shining? You know, at the end, they zoom into the picture like, you've always been here, Mr. Torrance. I feel that way about Jeff.
Well, that's like when the Friars closed.
Yeah.
You know, the Friars Club in New York.
I know.
Went down. And I was like, I'm sure Jeff felt it. Like, he just shaked.
it happened.
No, but Jeff is good all the way through. I mean, we had some great stuff. We did Catalina Island. Have you ever done it?
No.
You haven't done it?
No.
Oh, my God.
What's
it was weather
there?
Just like this.
Yeah.
We had a helicopter out.
Yep. Really?
We helicoptered out. It was just
was that
me, Jeff, and a picture of Buddy Holly. Right into the rain.
Yeah. But Jeff, like, I remember, like, it's so weird that we've known each other since the late 80s, because I remember when Jeff was Jeff Lifshultz.
Whoa.
Right? You don't remember.
You're going to have to edit that out.
No, he knows. He knows.
Not in today's current. Yeah.
Right.
No,
Jeff Zionist Lifshultz. Have you realized that Zionist just means fucking Jew to some people?
I know. Well... Well, that's why these college shows are out there for you.
Do you do them?
No. Come on. I walk there. I'm the groundskeeper walking around. That would be terrifying. Actually, I would say that like any kind of like corporate or anything like that, I'd be like, you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like they wanted me to do some boat corporate thing. I'm like, I'm not the guy for you.
Yeah.
Like I don't want you to waste your money. You know?
Yeah.
But they always seem to be like, no, the guy who is... friends with the president,
he loves you,
and he showed the president some clip. I'm like, what about the other 500 people there?
Yeah.
You know? You make Bibles. You know this is a mistake.
And then you've got to sit there and like, you got to like, all right, so which guy's the boss?
And no. It's all about how much time. Like, you know, 40 would be better. And then you keep getting it down, you know, trying to like haggle them.
How about just
a meet and greet?
Yeah, that'd be great. Now bus balls at the meet and greet. The one I remember, I've never done a corporate since the... I had to do one in Boston when I was just starting out. And I walk into this, there's people, it's a dance floor, there's people eating on both sides,
right.
There's an ice sculpture, and I don't know, somebody canceled, and I walk in, and the woman says to me, like, what do? You talk about sports? They love sports. And I'm like, I'm fucking dead. So I went up there, I talked about AIDS for 10 minutes.
Wow.
And then... And then I got out.
You hit him right where you're closing.
Oh,
you know,
if you're starting with the closer, it's fucking over.
You know, that's the other thing is like, mostly anything I've ever done for money has sucked. So like, I just know it. Like when it's like, but the money, then it's always bad.
The worst.
It's terrible.
But
when, you have your so many other tools in your tool belt.
But I still like, I love doing.
What
this
about the movies? You can do some movie stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to do, like, I don't work too hard at it. I swear to God, man, there's part of me that sort of is done.
Yes.
You know, but I keep doing the stand-up because it's the only thing that makes life interesting.
Right.
Because you can just do a new thing occasionally, and you're like, holy fuck, everything's okay in the world.
So you like doing it or you don't like doing it?
The movies?
Yeah.
I like it all right, but there's a lot of waiting around. You got to sit in a trailer a long time.
Yeah, that really is tough.
It kind of is.
It really is.
And I, you know, the more I complain about it, the more I'm hurting my chances to get more movies. But
you know, that's why, like, in the classic age of Hollywood, like, they would always show, like, the stars playing, like, cards with the stuntmen and,
and
the crew.
Well,
like,
yeah, you had to.
They had to. They didn't have phones or anything like that.
Yeah, now everyone just sits around on their fucking phones.
Yeah, talking about, like, is this World War II or something? You know, they're having a good time.
So how'd the deal with Netflix work? You just said, here's my thing?
Yeah, no, they're pretty cool. I mean, like, I've worked with them before.
Who, Robbie?
Robbie is a good guy, and, you know, we did the bumping mics there, and, like, you know, they just know me for a long time, so.
The good thing about it is, like, it's international. So do you ever go to Europe? You do.
I can't leave the country because of my mom. Like, I really don't want to be, like, somewhere, like, pick a country.
Yeah.
East Timor, let's say. Doing
Poland.
A comedy festival.
You're not doing Poland?
Yeah. Let's say I'm on the Donbass in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
And, no, I don't want to be any, you know, where I have to, like, get back quickly.
Yeah.
So that happened when my dad passed, where I was in Boise, Idaho, and I'd take, like, 9 flights to get home.
Oh, no.
That was really terrible.
Boise. So, I'm going to Boise.
I bet you're going to sell that out.
I don't know. It's a festival.
Well,
what rock festival?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and they have comedy. We'll see. But you're asking me how much I'm out there. I'll go out.
That's great.
In March, I'm going to be out like almost every weekend.
Well, there you go.
These, you know, all different ones. Like,
but what do you do when you're
runs.
Here? That's more important. What are you doing when you're here?
I do the Comedy Store every night, and I talk to you.
Okay.
And I talk to people. I have movie stars come to my house, and I thought, and
that's fun.
When after I'm done, I'm like, are we friends? Should I ask for his number? And I never.
Do you guys do? You play a little pickleball? What do you do?
Pickleball. My brother's all about the pickleball.
I know.
No, I just go to the gym and I break my foot, and you know that's the whole fucking thing.
Mm.
But what's it like in New York? Because, like, I've been averse. Like, for some reason, I go to New York and I don't go to the Cellar because I don't know.
Yeah, why don't you?
I should.
No, really, that's really, like, they would love to have you there.
I know. And, I have this weird idea that me and Noam don't get along, but I don't. I think it's all in my head.
No. And I think we'd love to have you there.
But I think also there's part of me that, like, from being there when I was younger, it was never that comfortable. I always felt a lot of pressure. So now it's almost like going back to where the abuse happened.
Well, but, like, when you go to the Comedy Store, which is really, like, where you cut your bones.
Well,
you know?
I mean, I was there when I was a kid, and when I finally figured out that Sam Kennison wasn't going to come back and make me do coke with him.
Well, I was on the road, and we were in Oklahoma. Have you played that club, Oklahoma City?
I went to his grave.
No, the Tulsa.
Tulsa.
We went to his grave, and I was like, I expected something totally different.
It's a
family plot.
It's a family plot. I had this agenda after he pissed on my bed when I was at the Comedy Store that I was going to piss on his grave.
No way.
Yeah, and when I got to Tulsa, I was there to do the Reservation Dogs, and I went out there, and I'm like, am I going to do it? And
good.
I let it go.
Good.
I let it go.
Because, you know, you can do a lot of things in Tulsa, but not that.
Yeah, can't piss on Sam.
Save it for the Outsiders house, where I went.
That's
and they had a guy at the outside, because you know the book, The Outsiders.
Sure, sure.
So they had a guy there who was actually an extra in the movie, and he kind of gives you a little tour of the house. And I go, I've made a lot of mistakes, but this guy, talk about riding an old credit. And it's like, and this is the car that Pony Boy and Cherry Pop and what? Oh, hello? Hold on a second. I have to get to family court right now.
Was there a lot of people there?
There was a lot of people, because it's funny, you can stand in front of the house and take a picture, but the guy's house across the street looks like a total bunker. And you're like, what's going on at that house?
Can we get a tour of that house?
Who's got the guy, don't tread on me, snake flag?
But, like, are you having this thing where, I mean, you're in New York all the time, though. Like, I don't know who the new comics are.
I don't know them either.
You don't?
When I see them at the Cellar, I slowly get to know them. But people, like, you know, I don't get it. I mean, like, I'm a comic. I'm standing on the street just like the rest of them.
Sure.
They're a little nervous. Yeah. It's also like a generational thing, I think, that a lot of them, you know, like really lean into this whole, like, you know,
crowd work.
Well, that, which is funny, because crowd work, as we all know, was like, you
lazy.
Know, it was a different thing.
Well, yeah.
And some people are better at it than others, but,
yeah,
like,
but it was something
to turn it into its own separate, you know, like free running. You
but,
know,
but,
like,
that, but the thing was, like I know how to do it. You know how to do it, but it's just a tool. It's not thought, to act.
Yeah. In fact, I would always like be a little like, oh, I did a lot of crowd work on that one.
Right. You know? I wasted my time.
But now that I see that it's a cash cow, I'm in.
Are you doing that? Do you do the TikTok thing?
No, I'm actually going to try and put some clips up there. And I really am, like, tough on the web. Like, I really, like, don't like the web, you know? Like, I'm like, I have a flip phone, you know?
Yeah,
that, right?
Do you really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it, well,
and
I like the,
you know, the it's very slow Wi-Fi. And it seems you got a call back for this show, Glow.
Yeah, I'll meet you over there. Okay. I'm part of the audition process. Are you reading with me?
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I don't like it at all. I have someone who works my sites and everything like that.
Yeah, yeah. You got a TikTok guy?
I'm gonna get that going.
I got a guy.
That's the way to do it. And how's it going? What's your hits? What do you got going there?
I got a couple hundred thousand followers, and that guy just pulls clips from. Sometimes I do Instagram wise and pull clips from old specials, but I'm not doing too much club stuff.
Okay.
Like I made fun of the crowd work comics on one clip.
Oh, really?
And that did really
started
well.
Started a war.
Yeah, kind of. It's easy to start a war.
That's for sure.
Somebody got mad at me. I said something in a cryptic way about a comic, quote unquote. And another comic, someone framed it that it was him, and I had to call him and make up with him because it was Bert, you know, and he was like, why are you saying this about me? I'm like, I wasn't even talking about you.
Wow.
And then, like, it becomes like high school, and I don't even know if that's resolved.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah.
Sounds like something should be said only at a cigar bar in Miami. Two of you relaxing, two men of the world.
Yeah.
But the best thing about TikTok is that there actually is some really funny stuff on it. Like international world stuff, you know, like something like a restaurant run by baboons or something like that. I can't beat that.
Or a restaurant.
I got nothing that good.
A restaurant that cooks baboons.
Something like you're like, wow, that's hilarious. The editing and the effects.
It's all
like,
perfect. Yeah. I watch a lot of international food reels.
Really?
Where they're just cooking things. You're like, what the fuck is that? How many people are going
to
eat that?
That's a great thing to say on a first date. I watch a lot of international food reels. Why are we here at Bob Evans? Because I like to disconnect sometimes.
but I don't, do you, like, are you accepting, like.
I watch endless documentaries.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like on just like stuff that you can't even find another person to talk about.
Well, that's good for material, right?
I think it's just me, like, you know. As I get older and I forget things, that like I used to read books.
Right.
Now I can't read books.
Yeah.
And it was magazines. Yeah. Can't do that either. Now it's just documentaries 24/7.
What do you watch them on? Anything?
I watch them on, I hate to say it, Amazon.
Yeah.
It's got like all these like little crazy docs.
What's the last one you watched?
I watched so many of them, but the one that is in our business is the Gary Mule deal one.
I interviewed him for that.
You did?
Yeah. I had Gary over here.
I love it.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Well,
the doc?
Yeah.
Well, there is, I'm not going to say it, but, you know, they had some great legends. Conan, and Letterman, and Steve Martin.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, there is a scene in there that I thought was hilarious where they're like, this guy is, like, at the top of his game, and, like, he does it for the art.
Yeah.
And it's like, the money, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But then they show him in like an Embassy Suites bubble wrapping his guitar.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think the money has something to do with this.
Well, he was one of those guys where I saw his picture at the store forever, and he was Letterman's friend.
I never met him.
But there was this part of me, it's like, this guy, what's he been doing? But, like, he's
out there.
He's huge, though.
Yeah.
In a way, with the country music people. And, you know, he does, you know, he does act, you know, some of the references he does in his acts are actually retro now. So, like, the people that, like, and I've watched guys who, like, Argus Hamilton at the Comedy Store. Mm. There's something about the guy, Tom Dreesen's back.
Yes.
And there's something about, I think, comforting to some audiences just to hear these old guys do that way they used to do it. It reminds them of their kid or something.
Like,
when
I tried,
kids.
You know, Gilbert, who was, who's, like, a friend of mine. Yeah. Like, to this day, like, his jokes, that classic setup of a rabbi and you know, like, those are really hard to write, you know, because, like, you know, even though you grew up kind of hearing those jokes, they're really tough to write. And, like, what's his name? Gary Muldeer had, like, a bunch of those, too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm like, wow, man, like, you know, here we are thinking we're, like, the big writing comics, but, like, I can't even write these street jokes.
Well,
you know?
But they did their writing once 30 years ago.
Well, maybe that's why they're so hard to come up with, you know?
Well, the interesting thing about Muldeer was he was a Keno addict. I mean, if you're going to get
coke and Keno,
if you're going to get addicted to something,
Keno. It's like, it's not even like in the meeting. People are like, next, who's got a better story? Anybody?
How much can you lose?
I play the ponies.
You got to, like, to lose a lot of money at Keno. It takes a long time. You got to be really in. But you know, are you feeling
what?
Lately I've been feeling like, you know, I just have to accept that I'm like this generation that, like, we're the old guys.
Yeah, we are the old guys.
It's weird, right?
I like being the old guy. I feel like I'm better at a lot of things now than I was when I was younger. I'm a better performer. I don't know about joke writing. I feel like sometimes sometimes I really hit it. Sometimes, like right now, I'm in like a real funk. Like, you know,
well, you just did a special, right?
Yeah. So it's like, you know, changing up the hour. There's some guy like Sam Morrell and Mark Norman. Morrell. These guys can like turn an hour, man. I mean, like, they really can turn an hour.
Well, that's funny because, like, they're your direct proteges.
They would be like, they're like generations younger than me, but like, it's just amazing to see how they like bang it out.
The,
you know,
Attell ethic goes through them.
Okay.
I believe that's true. Well, I mean, there was a period there where everybody in New York was doing some version of Attell, but now there's two generations past, but there's still, they're joke guys that I think are directly connected. Morrell's, I think he would admit that. You're a hero.
I know Sam really well. I know them both. And there's a bunch of now joke writing.
Joe List.
Coming up. Yeah, another guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the joke writing people are coming up again.
I know.
Whereas
I know.
For a while there was like everything but jokes. You know, a lot of stories, a lot of emotions,
I'm of the story ilk.
Well, that's okay. Well, telling a good story is really difficult. So, I do, you know, some guys are better at it than others.
But I think people don't realize that all the stories are full of jokes. Okay. You got to have jokes. I mean, it's part of the story.
Do you ever like go to yourself, like, I assume before you go out, you look at a picture of Mark Twain.
Yeah.
And go, sure. Here it comes.
Here it comes. Here it comes. Finally, I'm getting
watch
gray.
This.
I'm just gonna, that's what I'm going to end up doing when I retire, is just a Mark Twain show where like Hal Holbrook's out,
but
Val Kilmer's out.
But with a Q&A.
Yeah, with a
I love that.
No Q&As.
So let me ask
you
a question.
You need to smoke?
I wanted to smoke a cigarette, but I don't know if you have a half time for this.
No, we're good. We're almost done, I think.
Yeah, okay, so.
We did good.
Yeah?
How's the cigarettes?
Probably about 2 packs a day, but I only smoke halves.
Oh.
Yeah. You know
I can't get
about
off the fucking nicotine. I thought
you were all on the POT. Don't you weed it up?
No fucking weed. I'm totally sober. No
Wow.
Weed.
Not even a gummy?
No gummies.
Come on!
You?
No. I like how this gummy thing took over.
Well, they just act like it's fucking candy, but like, you know, the thing with me, I'm gonna do it every day. I don't do anything. But now I got these
zins. What did they give you for your foot?
I wasn't in that much pain. Really? I know myself well enough. They're willing to give you anything.
That's very Patrick Swayze Roadhouse. Just stitch me up.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got prescribed oxycodones for teeth once. And they just sat in my fucking medicine cabinet. I took
calling
one.
Your name?
Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, I took one the day of the surgery, and then I didn't need them, and I knew I didn't need them, but I didn't throw them away. And it took me like a year to throw them away. And when I finally threw them away, I flushed them down the toilet, and I talked about it on the podcast, and like 9 people were like, don't flush medicine down the toilet. It ruins the water supply. Jesus Christ.
They gave me a pain.
That's my audience.
A pain stopper. Patch? No, it's like a nerve stopper for my shoulder when I first had it. This thing was great because when you're like, is this thing working?
Yeah.
And then when you take it off, the pain, like, it's just like rushing through the door. And I was like, man, I want to put this thing on my head.
But you didn't get high from it?
No, it didn't get you high, but it just stopped all feeling like in the arm. So I was like, man, this would be so great on my head.
Drugs
like
are
a
so
yarmulke.
Yeah, that'd do the same thing.
So let me smoke a cigarette.
All right, buddy. It was a great
seeing you.
It's good
been
scene.
Too long.
It has been.
But promise me this. If you come to New York, you'll come to the cellar. We'll meet up. We'll have a good time.
I will do it.
Do it.
I will do it the next time. I don't know. I think I'm just being a baby. I think I can't compete. I always felt very competitive there. And I think the last time I went there, I'll tell you honestly.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I hadn't been there in a long time, right? So they gave me a spot next door, right?
Right.
At the new place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd forgotten just how much you got, how vigilant and how engaged you have to be. And you can't fuck around at the cellar. You have to deliver the goods.
No, that's not necessarily true.
All right. Well, maybe it's just my head.
Yeah. It's
so
you.
I go on and I'm doing my show and I feel that sweat on the back of my neck.
Really?
Because I'm starting to tank. And I'm like, oh my God, I haven't felt that sweat in a while. And the set was just really mediocre. And then I bring up Soder and he just fucking kills.
Well,
and I'm
he's
like,
great.
Fuck.
Yeah,
he's you know, great. What am I going to do?
But that's like all the guys I always want to see there. Never like you, Stanhope, never works there.
Have you talked to him?
Not recently, just texting. Kind
he's
of
all right.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's
did you see great. That movie he did? He did a stand-up movie.
I saw the trailer for it,
yeah,
but
yeah,
I
yeah.
didn't see it yet.
It was good.
I'm sorry. It came out the same week as Aquaman.
Yeah.
It was a coin toss. Sorry, Doug. Yeah, no, I want to see it. Yeah. I love Doug when he pushes it because he's the first guy to write the books.
Yeah.
He does all this stuff. So.
Yeah, he really does push it. It's so funny. Like, you know, I remember... Like, when I called you, what was it? Oh, the last time I texted you was because of that joke in the last special, the Angel Factory's joke about the
right.
abortion clinics.
And then we talked about the vitamin thing.
Yeah,
remember
yeah.
that at the store?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you'll see that in the special. So go ahead.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I have my version.
Do you do the vitamins?
Yeah, do I take them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many do you take? What do you do? I think I took calcium twice today. I don't know what's
yes.
going to happen.
Well, I know. You don't know what's going to happen. Okay. No, but no. I like how, like, I can, like, anything now is about when you have to go to the bathroom again. Is that you?
No,
okay.
No,
then you're
yeah.
doing better than me. But anyway, yeah, these vitamins, it's really, it's habit now.
Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah.
It has nothing to do with
that. And I have no idea if it's working.
Yeah.
Great to see you. I love you, man. I'll see you in New York.
Mark, thank yeah. you so much, buddy.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Attell. That was fun, right? Dave Attell, Hot Cross Buns on Netflix. Starts streaming on March 26th. Okay, people, hang out for a second. People, on Thursday, Eddie Pepitone is back for a full episode. We recently reposted the road trip episode we did back in 2010. It's available now for full Marin subscribers.
And then you leaned into me and said, you know, maybe I should do more singing. Maybe I should do lounge singing. This is how you bounce back from the situation at hand.
Yeah. I let terror fuel my comedy, and I'm thinking of doing a lounge act, but not a typical lounge
act. Wait, what are you going to put on the tuxedo? You got a full orchestra?
Maybe a full orchestra eventually, but at first just a couple of piece band, and I'm just singing kind of Sinatra-like, but the subject matter is about inner demons, you know, sort of like, I grew up in Brooklyn, my mother died alone, was it my fault? I think so. I think it was, I never loved her enough, and kind of upbeat Sinatra style, but the subject matter is very, very
keep going with it.
Emotionally
I
dark.
Like
okay. I am a person who has inner demons, so many. Hey, do you have inner demons, young lady? Are they as big as mine? I don't think I love myself. How about you? How about you? I'm scared and frightened and alone, but the one thing I have is this microphone. The way that I deal with my mother's death is to overeat and watch pornography, watching strangers fuck and eating pudding. That's the way I deal with my mother's death.
Ba 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 ba
ba ba ba.
I like
bing,
it.
Bang, 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 boom.
To get the road trip with Eddie Pepitone and all of the full Marin bonus episodes, go to the link in the episode description to sign up or go to WTFpod.com and click on WTF Plus. And a reminder before we go, this podcast is hosted by Acast. Here's some guitar that sounds like the other guitar that I've done in the past. Enjoy it. We'll be right back. lives. Monkey and La Fonda. Cat Angels everywhere.